University of Minnesota President Eric Kaler shocked students, faculty, and state legislators when he announced last summer that he would be stepping down from his position as president of the university's five system campuses 1 year before his contract was up. With only 1 year left as university president, Kaler will attempt to forge a legacy that rises above the opposing viewpoints that have sometimes marked his presidency.
This is In the Know, breaking down the U's news, a podcast powered by the Minnesota Daily that takes a closer look at the week's top headlines. We're your hosts, Mariah King
and Luke Diamond.
President Kaler came to the University of Minnesota in 2011, and prior to that, he was at other universities in the U.S. He served as the Dean of the College of Engineering at the University of Delaware, and after that, he moved to Stony Brook University, where he was a provost, and he also went to Caltech for school and the U of M, where he got his degree in chemical engineering.
Katrina Pross covers campus administration for The Daily.
When President Kaler was appointed to his position at University of Minnesota, what key issues did he say he was going to address?
I guess in addition to the tuition, keeping that flat, he also wanted to minimize administrative spending. The U's been quite publicly criticized for that, both nationally and just locally. He created this initiative to cut administration costs by $90 million in 6 years, and he's currently on track to make that goal. So he's just been reallocating administrative spending costs to kind of keep that down. There was a quite unflattering piece that came out in the Wall Street Journal a few years back, basically just criticizing the U for their administrative spending costs, and compared to other schools, our costs were really, really high. So that kind of put that into perspective, and it gained the attention of like the state legislature in the regions as well. So that really also put it at the forefront of trying to minimize those administrative costs.
You mentioned the state legislature. Were they among the most critical of Kaler's term, or do you think students in general?
I think students were critical, but I would say the legislature could be as well. I know this past year we didn't get the funding that we asked for from the legislature. We didn't get everything. We got not even half of what we asked for, I think. He has a six-year plan to decrease administrative spending by $90 million, and so far he's on track to meet that goal.
During the course of President Kaler's eight-year presidency at University of Minnesota, what, if any, has been his primary point of contention with the Board of Regents, who essentially act as his boss?
I would say one of the main arguments that the Board of Regents and President Kaler have, where they don't exactly match up, is tuition. President Kaler decided to increase tuition by 2% this coming year for in-state students, and several of the regents were unhappy with that decision. One of the regents, Regent Michael Hsu, tried to pass a resolution to keep tuition flat, and it did not get enough votes to pass, and then four regents voted against President Kaler's budget. Because they disagreed with the 2% increase. One regent, Regent Powell, tried to amend it to just be 1% increase, but that didn't pass either. So there was a lot of debate over tuition increases and if it was necessary.
President Kaler is stepping down an entire year before his original contract was set to expire. Let's talk about that.
So the reasoning that President Kaler gave in his official statement he released and then later at a press conference was he said that the job was really demanding and it ended up being like 7 days a week and he didn't have time for his personal life. And then two, he said that he completed everything that he set out to do and felt that it was time for a new leader to step in. He's going to continue to be president emeritus for a year following his presidency. He's like not going to be president, but he's basically just going to be like finishing stuff that he wanted to finish, like his Driven campaign, which is a $4 billion fundraising initiative that he's been leading, and he's going to use that last year to finish that Driven campaign up.
Can you just give us a brief explanation about the Driven campaign for new students or those who aren't as familiar with it?
So the Driven campaign is something that President Kaler started And it's basically just encouraging people to donate to the university and just fundraising for the U. And it kind of outlines a couple priorities like elevating a world-class student experience and accelerating health advances with like the medical school. And then also to encourage projects like sustainable agriculture, food, water, things that like are aiming to like cure world hunger and just different initiatives like that.
So President Kaler has a little less than 12 months left in the office of president at University of Minnesota. What does he need to accomplish in his final year as president to seal his presidency in the ways that he promised?
I think a main one is the system-wide strategic plan, which is basically a plan that outlines like the main priorities of the university, and it's system-wide. Like in the past, different system colleges like Twin Cities, Duluth, have had like their own strategic plans, but they've never had a strategic one. So this is something that they've been working on for a while, and it's supposed to be approved and finalized this fall and will go into effect next year, January. So that's something that's super important.
And what is a strategic plan?
So the system-wide strategic plan just like outlines main, like the main goals of the university, like the goals of the mission of the U. So there's things like advancing the medical school. That's something that Jacob Tolar, who is the dean of the medical school, and he just came in last year. He really wants to like enhance the prestige of the medical school and the reputation. And then there's other things like the other areas are like teaching and learning, mission and outreach, just like different priorities that the university has as an institution, and just outlining those and making sure that those like come to what the university wants. And it's something that the U has wanted for a while and that the Minnesota legislature has wanted for a while. Like some regions have speculated that it could be why we didn't get as much funding as we did, because we didn't have a strategic plan, a system-wide one, when the budget was recently approved.
In a way, could you say that this is Kaler's last attempt to unify all of the different University of Minnesota campuses for a stronger higher education institution?
Yeah, I think so. And I think sometimes people think that because Kaler is always, for the most of the time, here at the Twin Cities campus, that he prioritizes that over other campuses. Like some people think that campuses like Crookston or Morris tend to be kind of forgotten about. But I think this is kind of the university's way of prioritizing all of the campuses and not just Twin Cities.
If President Kaler accomplishes all of the goals left on his docket by the time he steps down into the position of President Emeritus, what challenges will be left for the new president to face when they enter office?
I think too, just tuition is just something that's at the forefront of all universities, like nationwide. Tuition just keeps rising and rising, and so I think that's kind of a main thing that presidents come in with, is wanting to keep that as low as they can and not have it multiply out of control.
Will the new president carry on with the Driven campaign, or do you think that will finish in line with Kaler's presidency?
That should be what Kaler does as president emeritus. He's doing that role specifically for that campaign to see it through its last year to make sure it's completed.
You said that he will be going on to act as somewhat of a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. Will his activities in that role be made public, or do you think there will be more so kind of behind the scenes workings that he'll be dealing with?
I'm not sure. They haven't really made that clear yet, but I'm sure the Driven campaign has had a lot of advertising in the past few years, so I can see that there would be some like publicity of it.
So can you tell us a little bit about what President Kaler's life will look like after his term is over?
After stepping down as president, Kaler is going to transition to becoming a faculty member in the chemical engineering department. And he's not the first president to do this. President Ken Keller is still a faculty member at the University of Minnesota and still teaches.
Having reported on President Kaler, what do you think his legacy at University of Minnesota will be once he leaves office?
He thinks that one of his major accomplishments was keeping tuition relatively flat throughout his presidency, because the presidency before him was marked with pretty high tuition hikes. So I think that's one of the main things that he prides himself in, is that he was able to keep it relatively flat. And also seeing the system-wide strategic plan kind of come to life, I think, is something that the university has wanted for a long time. And so I think once that is implemented, that will definitely be an accomplishment of his presidency.
Thanks for joining us, Katrina.
Thank you.
Here's the rest of the U's news.
If you've been fighting a cough or congestion this week, that could be due to wildfire smoke that's drifted from the West Coast towards Minnesota and contaminated our air. 6 air quality alerts were issued by the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency last month.
Drug experts and Minneapolis community members are teaming up across the city to tackle opioid addiction in local neighborhoods. The Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force on Opioids, proposed by Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, aims to combine the powers of research and community to provide increased support for local Minnesotans battling opioid addiction.
University of Minnesota motioned late last month to dismiss a lawsuit filed by Republican commentator Ben Shapiro and conservative student groups that claimed the university violated Shapiro's First Amendment rights when it moved his event from an East Bank venue to a smaller venue on the St. Paul campus. The university said the venue was changed for security reasons.
From sushi rolls to rolled ice cream, 123 Sushi's former location in Dinkytown will debut as Wonders Ice Cream later this month. The parlor will offer 20 signature flavors of ice cream for flattening on an ice grill and scraping into a roll before being sprinkled with an assortment of premium toppings. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.